Everybody, welcome to the Head and Heart Probecast with Probe Ministries. I'm your host, Kyle Skaggs, and with me is my other host,
Tom Davis.
So, The Office.
Yes. I think that's a show everybody knows.
Yes.
Just about.
If you haven't watched The Office, go watch it.
Yeah.
But you can skip season one. Season one's kind of lame. Season two and all the other seasons after two are peak Office.
Yeah. So I do have a confession to make. I've never seen a complete episode of The Office. But The Office has been such a big thing that I have seen parts of I don't know how many episodes, and I know right what the basic concept is and basically who the main characters are.
Do you have a favorite character?
I'm trying to remember the names. Names skip me, but the I can't even remember the actor's name. Evan on Bruce Almighty and Evan Almighty. What's his name?
Why did I forget his name? Yeah. Oh, Steve Carell.
Yeah, Steve Carell. And the two guys that are always feuding with each other.
Dwight and Jim.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably my favorite stuff.
Dwight was my favorite character.
Yeah, because Dwight's trying to be the boss.
Yeah.
And Jim's just not really having any of it. So it's always messing with them.
Identity theft is not a joke, Jim. So the reason I bring up The Office is because there has been a new show that's been going on for about a year now called The Promised Land. And it is a office-style comedy set during the period where the Hebrews are wandering the desert.
Yep, and it's set up just like The Office. So you have the different meetings going on with Moses and the people he's running. You have Moses in front of all the people. Jealousy between, Miriam and, what's Moses' wife's name?
Miriam and Zipporah.
Yeah, Miriam and Zipporah. So, and, Joshua being, a little overzealous protecting the mountain. Actually, I don't know that he was overzealous, but they kind of.
He was trying to be.
I think they wanted.
He was trying to be overzealous.
Yeah, I think they cut the way they were portraying it, wanted to portray him as being overzealous, but that's probably what I would have been like. Be like, no, you go on this mountain, you die.
Well, he was overzealous in the sense that he was trying to stop every single thing from getting onto the mountain.
Yeah, he was.
Including goats.
He was running off the goats. so that was pretty good. And then you have it's Cora.
Oh yeah, Cora.
that thing starts bubbling in episode one, and I don't know how many seasons it's gonna take to actually get to Cora's rebellion.
Yeah. I like how there's like certain parts where it almost can take you out of it just a little bit. Like if there's been like a long pause between the interviews.
Yeah.
And then they suddenly look at the camera and start talking to them.
Yeah.
That can be a little bit jarring, but not really. That just makes it funnier, honestly.
Yeah. I think it's done intentionally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's like they're thinking about whatever it was they just said. And then they kind of look at the camera like, hey, you know what's going on, kind of a thing.
Or, I really like, Jassisi.
Oh, yeah,
he's this Egyptian guy who got washed up onto the other side of the Red Sea right after they get over to the other side. He washes up. And he steals somebody's clothes and is pretending to be a Hebrew.
Stole that man's clothes while he was taking a bath.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't it Cora's?
Huh?
Was it Cora's clothes?
I'm not sure. Oh, it
probably... Because I know that Cora's the one who's suspicious of him.
It probably was. I can't remember for sure, but yeah, now that you say that, I bet if I went back and watched it again, it probably was.
So Cora's all suspicious of him, and he's like just grilling him, just asking him all these questions. He's like, "What tribe are you from?" "Well, what tribe are you from?" "I'm from Judah." "Oh, I'm from Judah. And then I think towards episode 3, Miriam is starting to get suspicious of him too.
Yeah, I think a little bit.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. Yeah, so that whole thing. So this is pretty unique in what we've seen from like recent Bible films.
Yes.
Right? So if you've been watching The Chosen or The House of David as far as like films like that, or His Only Son, those are going very much for a realism in saying it happened to something like this. And this has a little bit of that in it, but yeah, it's like that, but toned down so that you can make the whole thing kind of look like The Office. So it's really interesting in that way.
I feel like House of David is more like, this thing is awesome.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, I haven't seen any of season 2 yet, but yeah, House of David is just like grand battle scenes, and I wish they'd shown
even
us.
Even when back then, a battle would have probably been between like, I don't know, a couple thousand people.
Oh, and it would have been hectic, like more hectic even than a modern battle, and modern battles are really hectic.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like watch watch one or both of them, The Pacific or Band of Brothers, right? That's like your modern warfare era. World War II, so some of the weapons that they have would be outdated in today's warfare, but as far as like that type of hectic, once you get into the shooting, that's what it's like. With David, you kind of get that feel, except, you know, everybody's running around with swords and shields and spears and arrows and stuff.
You know, have you seen I've been looking into the scholarship on what ancient warfare looked like. And right now, one of the hot theories is that, so like Bronze Age up until like classical Greek warfare, you generally will have like maybe a wall of dudes just kind of lined up, and then you might have, now this is specifically Greek, so it might not apply. I honestly have no idea what Middle Eastern Bronze Age kind of warfare would be, but like the theory is that you'd have people like you know, gather up courage or have the bravest guys just come out and basically duel each other in front of these lines of guys, and the lines kind of like move back and forth as that just plays on for a while, and they throw spears and stuff at each other, and then occasionally somebody will jump out and challenge somebody and kill them and then run away to get away from his friends. And so I can imagine that being pretty hectic.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially since it's like before the hoplite warfare, where it's like, all right, we are standing in a line, we are holding it, and we are going to very carefully just push these guys away.
Yeah, where, yeah, you basically have two sides standing in a line going straight towards each other, and who can push the other one back is the one that wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
That'd be kind of boring to watch, though.
Which is...
just two lines of guys poking at each other for...
Which is what the Romans mastered.
Well, they mastered breaking that, too.
Yeah.
Like, they would be like, well, you know what?
Yeah.
We're not going to stand here and poke at you with our spears. We're going to throw them at you.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get in and gut you with our swords.
Yeah, because, one, you weren't going to break their line.
Oh, yeah.
Right, because of the way they made everything and used their shields. And then the other thing, like, you couldn't even do the arrows because they'd have the guys behind them holding their shields up, protecting them from the arrows. But yeah, then they managed how to use that same formation and break your line. And then once they did that, like, it was chaos and they'd win.
Yeah.
So yeah, you do that.
What were you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's what I was about to say. Go back. So as far as these characters, what do you think about the way they've introduced some of these characters in the Exodus? The Promised Land, actually.
So I really like some of them, and I'm not sure about others. So I'm not sure about Moses.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, when reading through Exodus and you're reading through Moses' story, he doesn't seem like the kind of like Michael Scott kind of, I'm going to try to be the boss. Except for the part where he's like, I can't speak very well.
Yeah, when God first brings him and is like, you're going to be my guy and you're going to lead my people out of Egypt, so you got to go talk to Pharaoh. And Moses kind of hems and haws at that. But after that, Moses doesn't really, like, he doesn't do everything perfect, but he doesn't really back down from anything.
Yeah.
After that.
There's no kind of, awkward leadership kind of stuff like you see with in The Office.
Yeah, it's kind of like after he goes in and
is the rules, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, after he goes in, Aaron joins him, he goes in and has that first meeting with Pharaoh. Like, after that, he's just like, no, this is what we're doing. This is the message that God has given me. This is what we're doing, and this is how we're doing it. Let's go. It's kind of that type of thing. Like, granted, he messes up a few times, but it's that type of attitude. Where here, he's, at least in the first three episodes, yeah, he's very unsure of himself, which makes for good entertainment, the way they portray him. But yeah, I don't think it doesn't seem to be accurate in the way that it's portrayed in the Bible.
Now, I do like how they portrayed his temper. I kind of like that.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, he doesn't want to get angry, but when he gets angry, he gets angry.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But on that note, I actually like how they portrayed Aaron. And the way that the two of them, I really like how it portrays like the daily stress of leading people.
Yeah.
And how Aaron just couldn't handle it.
Yeah. Good night. Like, both of those jobs would be hard. Imagine that God just coming up to you and be like, you're in charge, and you're his right-hand man. Get the thing done.
Yeah. So, also the part where it shows the golden calf, I think they did that part just great. That was awesome.
Yeah.
It's building up to it, and it's kind of funny, but you also know what's coming if you've read the Bible.
Yeah, if you know the narrative in Exodus, then yeah, you know it's coming.
And you can see all the tension building, and they take their sweet time to get there too. And so they'll just have shenanigans just pile on top of shenanigans, and eventually they're like, we want you to make us a god.
Yeah. And it's one of the things that's good about this, because being in real life, the way it goes when you're reading books like the Exodus, and when you're reading ancient history, is A lot of times it can feel, even modern history, at times it can feel like really fast paced. This happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. The way they're portraying it here, when you're doing the show, it really probably draws it out, right? So most of that trip through the desert probably would have seemed very mundane with punctuated points of terror and excitement.
Yeah. Another thing that I liked about it is, to build on the mundaneness of it, is when you're reading through, like, Exodus and pretty much most of the Old Testament, whenever it can be very easy to think, well, why are they doing that? And like, what, why do they keep disobeying God? And because you just read about God doing some awesome miracle and saving them from something. But from their perspective, that's like months, years ago.
Yeah.
And unless it's... The mundaneness of it kind of wears on them.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, unless it's your first time reading through the Bible, you know where it's going. And if you grew up in Sunday school, even if you haven't read through the entire Bible, you still might have a good idea as to where everything is going.
Right.
When they're going through it, this is what I like about shows like this and shows like the other ones that we've mentioned. So when you're going through it, the people that went through it, they don't know. Like, they know they're going to the promised land. They don't know when they leave. They don't know that they're going to be in a place, oh man, where are we going to get water from? They don't know that that's going to happen. They don't know... they haven't really thought about, oh, when we get to the promised land, we're going to have to fight Amorites and a bunch of other people. That would have maybe been really shocking if you're there and you go through all of this, especially if you were born in that and then your parents die off and then it's like, all right, everybody get your swords. We're about to, you know, go march around Jericho for a while.
And
it does that. And one thing that the different interviews, because they have the interviews like they do in The Office, these shows are a little bit of a thought experiment about the Bible, which some Christians won't like, but I think ultimately are helpful in understanding the Bible and thinking about the Bible ourselves.
Right.
Right. Even something like this, where they're not really necessarily trying to, they're trying to be faithful to Scripture, but they're not necessarily trying to say, hey, this is how it could have happened, at least not in the same way that the chosen house of David are.
Right.
But it still, it's, gets behind, because you can get in when they have all their monologues to the camera. You can get in and like, what would these people have been thinking about on a day-to-day basis as they're going through this?
Are there any parts of the show that you didn't like?
Moses's sister sometimes strikes me as historically being out of place. Right, in the ancient world, and she's not that you never had women that became powerful in the ancient world, you do. We can name some, Cleopatra, right? It's that it was rare, and especially in kind of that ancient Jewish Hebrew culture, to have her kind of saying some of the things to the men that she says, seemed weird. Just for that time setting, right? So it still provides an element of entertainment. It just seems weird to me.
Yeah, I have noticed that tends to happen in the shows that I've seen that are kind of do like an Office style comedy, but they're set in the past, there tends to be at least one woman character that kind of acts like Miriam is acting in this.
Yeah.
If I had a nickel each time, I'd have two nickels. It's weird that it happened twice.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I think it's pretty good otherwise.
Yeah. Oh, there's one thing she does that I thought was hilarious. So she starts off and she's telling him about yourself, and she talks about how she's really good making music. And then Moses' wife shows up, and she's also like interested in everything his sister is, only she's more bubbly about it. And so then she's had to go and work things out with her tambourine. And she's like smacking that thing and yelling on the top of the mountain instead of singing. She's like, ah!
Also, I think the part where they're trying to design the woman's tent.
Yeah.
And the running joke where she keeps on drawing herself into it.
Yeah. And her excuse and they is, look
for
that.
Scale.
Yeah. Is this you? It's for scale. Yeah.
And then she draws this like very, very clear cut. Like, this is how long it big it is. This here are the dimensions. Yeah. Everything, and it's like very architectural
and very
Zipporah's
and very plain.
Yeah,
right. Zipporah's like everything's going to be the same color.
Zipporah like takes all these materials and like scrapbooks it together to make the plan.
Yeah,
and they go and show the guys, and the guys are like, "We have drawn what we believe that you will like." And it looks exactly like Miriam's.
Yeah.
And then the woman all like Zipporah's.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because Zipporah's looks like, I don't know, looks like something like out of a
grandma's scrapbook.
Yeah, grandma's scrapbook. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good explanation. Like all kinds of weird colors that don't belong together. Maybe a little bit hippie-ish. But yeah, and like when... You know, another helpful thing about this, like, you have these big gaps. Like, you read about Moses doing that, and his father-in-law coming up and telling him, which is funny, because when he finds out his father-in-law's coming, he's like, he says he loves him, but then he's like, ah. Right? then when he shows up, it is that kind of... stereotypical thing that they start off with, where he's just like, "Oh, this is how you're doing that. You're doing it this way." But then he compliments him, and then gives Moses the idea. He's like, "Look, what you're doing is great." It's like, "But this is too much for you. Like, you need to settle, you know, other leaders, and they can take care of the mundane stuff, and you do the big stuff, and then you'll be able to do it." And so it's funny because then he compliments him, like, "I'm very proud of you." And like that kind of made Moses's day on that one. Like he kind of became real happy about his father-in-law being there at that point.
Yeah, and then Korah immediately thinking, like, to the camera saying, "I know that I'm qualified. I know that I will be put in charge of 100 men."
Yeah.
Or maybe 50.
Yeah, he comes over and he's a 10.
It's 10.
You just see right away, he's like... Then he's having them run in formation like they're in boot camp or something. Yeah, so that was pretty funny, Core doing that.
Yeah.
Which there you can kind of see... you can kind of see how they're laying the foundation for a Korah's rebellion in that, because especially once you can see Korah kind of being arrogant and kind of bossing other people around, But then, you know, once Moses says we're going to appoint leaders, then like you can really see his arrogance and kind of ambition. He wants to take over. Mm-hmm. Where like right off the bat, you see him like kind of not stating it, but he definitely wants more than 10 men, and he's thinking he can earn his way up there.
Yeah. That's actually one thing that I wanted to talk about. Like, the way that it handles characters is kind of similar to what we see in other Bible shows.
Yeah.
In that they'll take some liberties just to, you know, flesh them out and just give us a picture of what they might have acted like.
Yeah.
But this show, I noticed, is good at using... It's really good at putting the characters in places where they can really show the theme of the Exodus.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right. Because, yeah, in the Bible, the only characters that really get fleshed out are, like, the really major characters.
Right.
Right, your Moseses, your Aarons, your Davids. Not even all the kings really get fleshed out like that when you're reading through Kings and Chronicles. The more important ones do, but the ones that only reign for a short period of time don't even get fleshed out like that. So yeah, and especially in the Old Testament, you only have certain key characters that get fleshed out in the Bible, and this is taking the time to do it with multiple characters.
Yeah. And I should give an example of what I meant by that, but yeah. Right when they're building the golden calf, it was focusing on Aaron for a time leading up to that, and just how everything's going wrong. People are running out of water. He can't bring water from the rock like Moses did, and just kind of just lets it boil up to that point. Then you have, like, after they're worshiping the calf, they even use Chasisi for this. See, he's having a great time. And he's like, what a wonderful day. He's just enjoying the party. And then he just looks at the camera and goes, but they know that's not their god, because it's his god.
Yeah, it was, they basically made one of the Egyptian gods, more or less.
Yeah, which it does kind of, like in the whole framing of everything in that episode kind of reminds me of how whenever God is like silent and you're being really impatient, there's this temptation to go back to your old sins.
Yeah.
Because those are comfortable for you.
Yeah.
And I think that the way episode 3 played out just did a really good job of conveying that.
Yes. Yeah. Because that's like even true to Christian life today. Yeah. Like that has real time application for us, because God doesn't move at our pace. And, like, too often we get frustrated. And, like, when I say we, I really mean we. Like, I'm part of this. We get frustrated, like, God hasn't done this yet. God hasn't provided these funds for this. God hasn't provided this for me. Why didn't this work out the way I wanted it to? I prayed. You know, all of those types of things. And when you see that thing, and it kind of brings in like a real world element to that show that in some ways isn't real world at all.
Yeah.
Just like in The Office, right? A lot of the relationships that went on in The Office actually go on in Office of Life, but you never have someone sitting there talking to a camera about what they're thinking. People then, obviously very different cultures, very different times, but there's also the same element of humanity there and throughout all cultures and all times. And I think kind of that they connect this by taking the Office's kind of idea of how to present it and then present a completely different story does show that a little bit. Yeah, so the good thing about these shows, like we focused on one show in particular, but all of them can serve us well. As I said, stated earlier, they can help us think about the Bible. They also help us think about what it's like for us to serve God. When we've been praying for something, it's something that we at least think we need. Like we feel the pressure to have, you know, this money to take care of a medical bill, or, oh, am I going to make my mortgage payment this month, or, you know, all kinds of problems that we have to deal with. And this show does show that, particularly this one, and does show that when they have their, especially one-on-one time with the camera in the Promised Land, does show that a lot of times that's what they're thinking about, where you're getting very, so it helps us, in a sense, how to apply this ancient narrative and learn from that narrative how to apply it practically to our lives. Because it being the narrative, it is the true narrative, right? These are historical events that have happened, and it's taking, focusing on like the important parts, but they happened. But then they're real people. These things happen to real people. And shows like this that take their time developing that story kind of show us that they're real people and kind of give us an example of how to live our lives today as Christians.
So I guess what we're trying to say is these shows are good as long as you're not using them to supplement the Bible.
Yeah, they're not the Bible.
You can use them to complement it. Maybe fill in some little gaps that you wouldn't get from reading, but the Bible needs to be your go-to method of hearing God's word.
Yeah, the Bible is primary. You can kind of think of this as a commentary, but instead of a commentary in book form, it's a commentary in film form.
Mm-hmm. Also, these kinds of shows, especially The Promised Land, they can make for really, really in-depth discussions at small groups.
Yes. Yeah, and they'd be great for small groups. Yeah, get into these shows, have watch parties with your small groups, and then talk about it. Like, share, and subscribe.